Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio with your host, Pastor Cheryl Faxton. Thank you so much for joining me today for Favorite Life, the process of there, where we walk by faith and not by sight to the call, destiny, and purpose of God for our lives. It is a place where God shows and demonstrates his power, his life, his truth, his anointing, and in this place, we see the demonstration of God's will being performed in our life. We grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And as we begin to grow in that grace and that knowledge, as we recognize and learn more and more about him and we receive him, we become more like him in the earth. We become that which is necessary for someone else to see. We become the salt. We become that light that sits on the hill, that savor that someone else is able to taste and see the goodness of God by. And it's not in our own power and our own strength. It's all because of God. We rely and depend solely on him and his spirit to do what needs to be done. As his word becomes alive in us, as his word becomes a part of us, as we allow that word to become our daily bread, that which is necessary for living, and we live thereby, we are changed even the more. The mind of Christ becomes ours. We renew our mind daily in his word, and we do it in the spirit, not just reading the word without the spirit of God, but we read it with the spirit of the Lord leading us and guiding us. And as we do, there's a transformation that happens because it becomes alive to us. It's more than just the letter. The spirit is what makes alive. The letter kills it, but the spirit makes it alive. So when we allow the Holy Spirit to lead us in our reading, in our everyday life, and everything that we do, that the spirit of the Holy Spirit makes us alive to do the will of God and to walk in his precepts and his commands. And we have to do that because we want to be what he wants us to be. We want to be the light for someone else. We want to be the example for someone else. We want to be the display of his glory, of his power, of his love, of his forgiveness, of his salvation, so that when someone else look at us, they don't see us. They see Christ. They see what we reflect in the mirror, which is Jesus Christ, not ourselves, which is him. God always chooses unlikely people to do a great work for him. He calls them to a great purpose and a great plan, and then he strategizes, and he walks us through. And as we depend on him, he manifests everything for his glory. We have been looking and studying unlikely places of blessings since last year, and we're still in this book of this series of unlikely places of blessing, where God will come in and step in a season, in a place in your life where it looks like you've stopped. You no longer can go any further, that everything that God has spoken in your life is not going to manifest. You can't even see how a breakthrough is going to come. And God will step in that predicament, and he will cause the glory of his name, his power, and his truth to be seen. He will blow your mind and the minds of everyone around you, because he'll do it in a way that you never, ever thought, never, ever imagined, but he'll do it for his glory. So we're going to go and continue in this unlikely place of blessings. This time it's going to be an unlikely place of leadership, and we're looking at David and how God prepared him. David was God's man. He was not chosen by the people, but he was chosen by God. And because he was prepared for something that even David himself didn't really understand when he was going through it. But he would not let go of God. He would not turn away from him. Even when he wanted to try, he was encouraged by Jonathan and other people to know that God was for him and that he was the next king. So we're going to go and look at this again and go further on in the study about David and the preparation. We see that David's men have been at Nabal's property, and they had been watching over his property, doing what needed to be done, because Nabal was a rich man. He was very wealthy, had many, many sheep, and he lived where his pasture was in the wilderness. So he was a prime suspect for thieves to come in and rob him, for things to happen to his people. So David decided within himself to be a good Samaritan, a good neighbor, and to protect him, to show kindness to him. And in return, he expected when Nabal went to shear his sheep that he would do the same thing and just give him a little of all that he was going to have, just a small portion. And I'm saying that it was 10% because he was giving it in a place or to someone that was worthy of it. So I believe that Nabal was just a man that could not, even though he was wealthy and he knew how to make money, outside of making money, his actions, his deeds, his thoughts, his words were very foolish, and it made him look even more like a fool because his name means fool. So David and his men have done what they needed to do. They did not take authority or use their position in a way that was ungodly. They protected the people that were in Nabal's company with shearing and watching over the sheep and anything else that they were doing. He protected them as well as Nabal's property. And when the time came for him to receive, he didn't want to do that. Now, all of this is going forth right after David has received the word and knows that Samuel is dead. Now, he's in a place of wilderness. He's in a place of grief. He goes to Paran because he's in a place of grief. And you have to be very, very careful when you are going through something where grief is involved, sorrow is involved, that you continue to hold on to God, because it's in those stressful moments that we will act or do something unseemly, ungodly, and it will try to tear down our testimony. It will try to cause us to be basically not the person that we are and we know to be in a moment of weakness or sorrow or grief. So we have to make sure even in those moments that we run to God and we stay under the covenant and we allow the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us. Now, David is in this place. He's done what he's supposed to. He's still grieving. He's still mourning, and he's still going through, but he still has to be a leader. You will find out as a leader, it doesn't matter what's going on in your life. People still expect you, command you, to lead. And they will give you 2 weeks to get yourself together, and then life goes on. But with them, they can take as long as necessary. But with you, you have to always be strong. You have to always have an answer. You have to always stand in the gap. You have to always look as if nothing is bothering you. And we know that is not true because we're human. But that is the expectation of people. So David was expected to lead even in his place of grief and sorrow. So he's in this place. He's doing what he needs to. Nabal is married to Abigail, and her name means woman full of wisdom, and she was a woman full of wisdom and beauty. But her name means my father is rejoicing. She stood in stark contrast to the foolishness or the foolish nature of her husband, which was Nabal. She was the opposite of everything that he was. And it was a blessing to him because she was that virtuous thing that he had found or was connected to. And even in that, he did not realize who he had with him and who was on his side, because her wisdom and her beauty was that which would turn David away from destroying Nabal and everything that he had. So she was a wise woman because she knew exactly what to do to turn away the anger of a future king and his troops from destroying people that were innocent because of the choice of someone else. They were innocent, but the choice of someone else, which was foolish, was going to cause their lives to be in danger. So you have to be very, very careful in your leadership that you don't allow innocent people to be harmed because of your decisions. So we see that when the time came and everything happened, David sends his men to, just a small number of men, to go and talk to Nabal to let him know what we've done. And he already knew this. Of course, it had been reported to him because it had been some time. And so when it happens, Nabal gives them a rebuke and says that he's not going to give any money or share any money. And why should he? And so it was a slap in the face, because the service that David had done was righteous, and it was good, it was honorable, it was not something that was not. And so why wouldn't he get paid or get something for his protection to this man and his property and his people? So once it was told to David what had happened, David takes his men and he's going to destroy Nabal. He's going to utterly destroy him. And so that's what happens when you're in a place where things are awry in your life and you're going through, as a leader, you're going through situations and you're going through grief and you're going through sorrow or a hard blow or great disappointment. We have to be very, very careful that we have wisdom around us. Abigail represented the wisdom. She represented the knowledge and the truth. We have to have people around us that represent that, that stand and stop us from doing something that we know in the end ultimately is going to be something that is going to tear down the place that we have grown in and people have watched us grow in, and we have done something that is dishonorable. To kill Nabal and to destroy him and everything that he had would be something in the spirit of Saul. Saul did something like this because he was after David. He killed or had killed the priest, their family, and everything that was connected to them. So to do this, and he was not someone that was an enemy, as what the word says, like the Philistines, then it was going to bring something on David's testimony or life that would not be good. So wisdom stepped in and said, okay, I need to calm you down. I need to stop you. I need to appease you and do what my husband would not do, what the foolishness of his life would not do. I'm going to do that, and I'm going to do that to honor your service, to honor you as the king, the future king, and to honor and respect you as a man. But she was doing all of that in that same aspect, because David needed all of those things, because to be disrespected as a man, as a leader in front of his men, in that manner would be something that was terrible. So she basically restored all of those places in his life by her wisdom and by her what she did. Now, she meets him. When she finds out what her husband has done, she prepares and she meets, she goes and she meets David. She has everything done. She has servants moving so that she can stop a disaster from happening. And her words were life-giving to David. It was life-giving to him. It was soothing to him. And as a leader, you must have someone around with that wisdom that can soothe you with their words. Preferably, it may be your spouse. If it's not your spouse, then it is someone in leadership that has the wisdom, that is walking with you and knows exactly how to be that wisdom to you, that balance to you in areas and in times that you need it the most. Everyone who's in leadership, everyone who's just a witness of God needs that type of balance. We need someone to help us stay on course, to balance us, to give us what we need. And God will surround us or give us people. And it won't be everybody. It may be only a few. It may be only like Jesus, three. It may be only three people that are able to impart that wisdom, that knowledge, that truth. Or it may be a greater number. But God will allow it to be that which is necessary to keep you balanced. It's not going to be overwhelming people. It's not going to be too much. Because God, everybody's not going to say the same thing. But it's going to always, if he's given you five people or six people in your life to pour into you wisdom, knowledge, truth, it's always going to run and coincide. It's going to be in sync. And these people are not going to be talking to one another. But when you do talk to them, it's going to be the same link, which lets you know they're in the vein of God, they're in the spirit of God, and it's all connected together. And that's the best thing, because God is going to help you in your leadership, because you can't do it by yourself. You need well-rounded leaders or people around you to help you moving through the purpose that God has planned for you. You need people that can give you wise decision, wise advice, help you with wise choices. In counsel, we need to have, when we're making decisions, we need to have wise counsel around us. So David met this counsel in the form of Abigail, and he met it in a way that looks and represents everything that the Proverbs talks about wisdom. It calls her a woman. Wisdom is like a woman, and Abigail is representing what that Proverbs talks about wisdom, and she comes and she gives that to David at a time when he needed it at the most, because he was getting ready to do something out of anger in the place of his despair, in the place of his sorrow and grief. In that area where he was right then, he was going to do something out of anger that didn't need to be done. But her words soothed him. And in that result, when she goes and tells her husband what she's done and what David was going to do, the Bible says that he turns white. I believe that he had a stroke or a heart attack, and that he soon afterwards died. That's what the word says, because soon after that, David marries Abigail and brings her into his family. So I don't have any more time to go into this, but next week we're going to have more opportunities to go into studies. I pray you have a wonderful worship service and that you celebrate God and all that he's doing in your life. Have a blessed weekend. God bless you.